forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's May 2nd, 2011, and this is episode number 7. I'm Kate Gace Walton. I'm the editor of WorksDo.com, an online collection of essays in which people ponder their work lives. Today I'll be talking to Mary Egan, who now heads up the strategy function for Starbucks. I was interested to hear that Mary began her career not in a cubicle, but in a classroom as a middle school teacher in New York. I wanted to learn what prompted Mary to switch from education to business, and I thought it would be interesting to capture this conversation alongside another interview I've arranged, which is with an investment banker who's gone the other direction, leaving the world of finance to become a high school teacher. That interview will be released in a few weeks. In the meantime, here's my conversation with Mary. I'm talking today with Mary Egan, who's the Senior Vice President of Global Corporate Strategy for Starbucks. Thank you, Mary, for taking the time to talk today.
Thank you, Kate. My pleasure.
Let's start with the here and now. What do you do for Starbucks now? What is the focus of your job?
As the leader of Global Corporate Strategy for Starbucks, I work with the senior leadership team to help determine our key priorities, both for the near term, what's going to help improve our brand, improve the experience for our partners and our customers, and improve our financial performance in the near term, and also where should we be making investments in, of our time, of our energy, and of our resources for what's going to improve those things over the longer-term future horizon. And that in a nutshell, is the essence of my role.
Great. Now, one of the reasons, as you know, that I focused in on talking to you is because you didn't actually start out in business at all. You started out, as I understand it, in teaching. And so I wanted to now go back in time. Can you tell me about how you started out, where you taught, what did you teach?
I taught junior high school mathematics and science in a public school in Central Harlem in New York City. The name of the school was the School for Writing and Publishing. It was a small school within a larger school building. And I taught there for 4 years full-time. Before that, I worked in education policy for 2 years. And before that, I was in college getting my undergraduate degree also in New York.
So it sounds, you know, from those early jobs that when you left school, you were really contemplating a career in education. Is that right?
I was. Throughout my undergraduate career, if you will, I got increasingly interested in public education, really because it closes the gap in the American dream, the American dream being that anyone can create a life for themselves regardless of the circumstances into which they're born. And, you know, one of the things I noticed as a young person studying in college was that the one most significant gap we have in the United States about making that dream a reality is the variability in public education that is provided to children across the United States. And I really went into public education with a sense of mission around trying to close that gap and create a more equal and robust educational set of opportunities for students across the United States.
And what did you find when you actually started teaching? How did the reality of it stack up to what you expected? Did you enjoy teaching?
I loved teaching. I actually found it really rewarding coming from education policy. So before I was in the classroom, I spent 2 years, one in a nonprofit organization that was working on education policies. We did work closely with the education department in the city of New York and in the state of New York. And then I spent a year working for one of the deputy chancellors in the New York City school system. And both those jobs had their own set of rewards, but I found that the direct impact I was able to see and feel working in a classroom with my students was extremely emotionally rewarding, especially at that stage of my life. And especially coming from a lot of policy debates where a lot of what the debate came down to was, really the crux of it was, do urban schools need more money to be more successful, or is there really a big effectiveness opportunity in how we're spending the money that we already have? And it was hard for me to answer that from where I was sitting as a new, you know, pretty new in my career, sitting in a policy role. And I was really eager to experience it from a classroom teacher perspective to really understand that. And yeah, I think I took away more money is always great, and smaller classes are tremendous opportunities for teachers and students. But certainly the quality of the teaching and the effectiveness of how that money is being spent can make a significant difference from one classroom to the next or one school to the next.
So what prompted you then, after, I think you said, 4 years in the classroom, to switch gears and go elsewhere?
Well, there was a number of things that were kind of converging. One was that I got married, and my husband is still a junior high school math teacher. We actually met because he taught in the classroom next door to me. And as most people who remember junior high can't imagine, the students knew we sort of had a crush on each other before we did. But once we got married and we started talking about our future and kind of how we're going to build a life together, you know, it kind of dawned on me that this was a man who was so so satisfied with teaching as a career. And the fact that the things that made me not want to stay in teaching at that point in time forever, around just the challenges of making big, large-scale change in the education system, are things that really didn't frustrate my husband day-to-day. He was found a lot of joy and satisfaction from his students in his classroom, and he had been teaching probably 10 years more than me when I met him. So that was something that was going to continue to be just a great career choice for him. And so, you know, as we thought about that and we thought about building life together, it did occur to me that living in New York City on two public school teacher salaries and trying to think about raising children, raising a family might pose a challenge given just the expense of living in New York. And so that was one of the things that motivated me, to be honest. There was also other things. I was interested in an MBA degree, partly to learn about business, partly to learn about leadership. I considered it an opportunity to make a career change from teaching to something else. And I thought that getting a graduate degree would be a great way to make a shift. And I kind of went down the list, and I knew I didn't want to be a doctor or a lawyer. And an MBA seemed like a degree that would set me up for a lot of learning opportunities both while in school and a lot of growth and leadership opportunities once I graduated.
So where did you go straight for your MBA after teaching, or did you have other jobs in between?
Nope, I went straight to business school from teaching. I remember being there the first day. I went to Columbia Business School, and the dean was talking about the variety of folks in our classroom, and there was all kinds of interesting folks in our classroom, somebody who made crossword puzzles for a living and somebody who had worked for David Letterman, and then he said, and we have somebody who's been teaching junior high school math in Harlem. So I was proud to be one of the people who had an interesting enough background that I got mentioned by the dean. You know, it was a big change. I was surrounded by people who had studied business in their undergraduate degrees, which I had not. I had studied political science, so it was all new to me. And it took me, you know, 3 weeks to figure out the difference between finance and accounting because they sounded the same to me. But in fact, they turn out to be very different.
I'm impressed that you figured it out in 3 weeks. I'm still pondering that 10 years after my MBA. Anyway, so what did you choose to do after your MBA? What was your first job?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story about how I decided that. The way that the cadence works at business schools, at least when I was there, and this was in 1995 I started, you start in school in September, and sometime around early October, the career services office says, you know, please prepare your resume for summer interviews. And I thought, egads, I've only been here a month. I'm not even sure what finance versus accounting means. How am I going to decide where to apply for a summer job? And so I went to one of my professors who taught microeconomics and said, I really, of the classes so far, I really like your class the best. therefore, what job should I consider for the summer? And this professor said, you should go work for BCG. And it was a company I'd never heard of. So I wrote that down on a small scrap of paper and trotted off to Career Services and ended up going to BCG for about 14 years after business school. So it was a good suggestion.
So that was consulting for 14 years. A lot of people think of consulting as a very tough lifestyle in many ways. Did you find it tough?
It is a very demanding lifestyle. I think, in a lot of ways, you habituate yourself to different lifestyles, and consultants who are in the career for a long time kind of habituate themselves to working long hours and, you know, working on planes and kind of being on the go. I think that a lot of the technology we have these days has made the job probably more 24/7, but also, you know, easier opportunities where if you're working on a Saturday, you don't have to be in the office the way that you did when I started out my career. The job is rewarding, but certainly challenging on a number of perspectives. Challenging in a good way, in that it's a job with a lot of growth and a lot of new things to figure out along the way. But also, you know, it's not a job that's particularly, you never get comfortable because there's always a new set of challenges in front of you.
Right. And then just bringing it back to the present, can you just walk us through your thinking in going from the consulting side of things to the corporate side at Starbucks?
Yeah. As a consultant, you get these opportunities to look across a lot of different companies, and it's a great opportunity to work with different teams, to learn a lot, and to bring a lot of kind of external experiences into companies where in most companies people don't have a lot of time to look externally. They're really focused on their own business and internal day-to-day. And there's a lot of reward in that. But at a certain point in time, I really wanted to join a company that I thought had values that really matched with mine, which Starbucks does. It's, I think, one of the most socially responsible companies that is publicly traded in the United States today. And also to really be part of a team, in a more permanent way. And not be a consultant who sort of pops in and is part of the team for a period of time and then goes on to something else. So I'm delighted to be here.
Great. And just one final question, sort of bringing it back to the fact that you did start in teaching and then left for the business world. Do you feel that story is sort of more just your story personally, or do you think it says anything more broadly about, you know, how attractive teaching is versus the corporate world is, or, you know, vice versa? Is there any bigger message in your story, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Yeah. I don't know if there's, I can't say whether it's a bigger message for society. I don't think it's my place to opine on that. I will say a couple of other things I observed at the time, and I was probably 26 when I was making the decision to apply to business school. So I was young and still new in my career. I was observing that a lot of leadership positions in education were actually being handed to people with business experience. So I actually thought to myself, if I did want to stay in education, I did want to make an impact in kind of thinking about more systemic change, going back to more of a policy position and out of the classroom, that having business experience would actually potentially be an enhancement, a benefit, both in rounding out my capabilities and in making me a more attractive candidate, just given some of the way the sector was evolving. So that was one thing I observed. I think the other thing I observed is that we are in an era right now where the private sector is playing a very unique role. When my husband and I got married, we were both teachers. We took our backpacks and went around the world for 10 weeks. And, you know, we visited the Taj Mahal. We visited the pyramids in Giza. We visited a lot of important architecture, the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. I mean, a lot of important architecture from throughout history from around the world. And, you know, if you look back through the ages, most of the great architecture was built through religions or through monarchies. And in the present time, the great architecture is really built by the private sector. And that was just something that struck me in that summer of travel as I was noodling on whether an MBA would be something that would be interesting to pursue. And it also just seemed like a point in time when a lot was happening in the business sector and it would be an interesting place to explore and to learn and to grow.
Great. Well, even though we are at what most people would consider the end of the week, I know you still have hours and hours of work ahead of you. So we will wrap up there. And thank you, Mary, so much for taking the time to do this.
Thank you, Kate. My pleasure. Great to talk to you.
That wraps up the show for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Mary Egan. Also, Chris Walton, my husband and collaborator. This podcast would not be possible without his technical expertise. Thanks also to everyone who has contributed an essay to Work Stew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the show by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the Work Stew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks, and bye for now.